This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news, the United States versus California. The issue, sanctuary cities.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And elections have consequences. I think the American people spoke about this subject. Immigration law is the province of the federal government. It's in the Constitution.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
A refusal to apprehend and deport those, especially the criminal element, effectively rejects all immigration law. It's a rejection of law, and it creates an open borders system. It's the only way it can be described.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so we got a bit of a legal showdown between the United States Department of Justice and the state of California. Now, let me break this down for you, and we'll take your calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. So here's what you have. The state of California, in a move to thwart the Trump administration's crackdown on illegal immigration, has decided that they are going to pass a, and they did, a state law for not only sanctuary cities, but actually that if you're an employer of a business and ICE wants to come in and check on the status of your employees, absent a court order, you don't do it. I mean, this is pretty deep stuff. Then you have the whole entire sanctuary city aspect where the federal government has under Article 6 of the United States Constitution, the Supremacy Clause, has the authority to, on immigration and naturalization issues, as the Attorney General just said, is entitled to make the case and make the statements and the positions, not the state government. Remember, the Obama administration sued the state of Arizona, saying that the state of Arizona, when Jan Brewer was trying to get border enforcement,
would do it on their own. Following the law, but right. Doing it on their own.
Say they couldn't do it. And the Supreme Court sided with the President Obama, saying this was exclusively the parameters of the federal government. But they're taking it. Jerry Brown in California is right. And we've got a lot of listeners in California. We'd sure like to hear from you at 800-684-3110.
I mean, understand this. ICE comes to your business. You are a small business or even a medium-sized owner. You manage a plant or facility, an office building, a call center. I mean, anything like that. And ICE shows up. You cannot allow them to voluntarily check people's I-9 forms, their work permits. And if you do, and ICE doesn't have a warrant, then you will be fined $2,000 to $5,000 for your first violation.
Per person.
And then $5,000 up to $10,000 for each subsequent violation. So, again, there's not just a prohibition. There's a financial penalty against you, and I'm assuming it would be the employer that would have to pay for it. But for many small business owners, the employer is you. So, again, this does not come without teeth, what California is doing here. They're not saying, we hope you wouldn't do this or we wish you wouldn't do this. They're saying you cannot. They are prohibiting private businesses from allowing voluntary immigration checks at their facilities.
For the law to demand that ICE agents present a warrant or subpoena before entering certain areas of the business, even if the employer, the company owner, says we'll let the ICE officials come in and check. That's one. Another state law dubbed by critics as the Sanctuary City Bill protects immigrants without legal residence by limiting state and municipal cooperation with the feds. In other words, federal government can't participate with ICE agents as to matters of illegal immigration. A third law gives state officials the power to monitor and inspect immigrant detention facilities controlled by the United States Department of Homeland Security. Why would the state government have the authority to do that?
I mean, it's not their citizens. It's not like California citizens are not being held. These are illegal immigrants. They have no rights under California law. They have no rights even under U.S. law. They have basic due process and constitutional protections, and that's it. And so, again, California trying to insert itself into immigration law when it wants to and then write its own immigration enforcement laws when it disagrees with the United States. And so this will be a battle, I think, that makes it likely all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. It is the Department of Justice taking the first action against what we believe are unconstitutional laws. We have a matching challenge right now. We're going to be standing with the DOJ and fighting this. Call our toll-free number. Double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ. Call now or donate online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So the Department of Justice has filed a federal lawsuit aimed at the state of California over, number one, its so-called sanctuary cities laws, which sets up a legal battle between California and the United States. The suit alleges that California overstepped its authority in passing three statutes that, among other things, limit the cooperation of private employers and local jurisdictions with federal immigration authority. In other words, federal immigration authorities want to check on a private business to make sure that they're in compliance with their hiring practices. This piece of legislation says, absent a warrant, you can't voluntarily, as the business owner, you can't let the federal government in. And by the way, if you do, you're going to be penalized up to $10,000, multiple violations, up to $10,000 per violation. Then you have the entire sanctuary city aspect of this. And then third thing is, the state of California has the right to inspect federal government immigration detention facilities, which is completely contrary to Article 6 of the United States Constitution. That provision talks about that the Constitution and laws of the United States just be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. Well, immigration and naturalization issues are distinctively part of the authority of the president, Article 2. The Supreme Court's been unanimous on that issue. So the idea that the state of California can set up their own immigration laws is wrong. Look, Jan Brewer tried in Florida, and there it was a different situation. But still, even there, including conservative members of the court said, yep, no.
And they weren't trying to set up new laws. They were trying to enforce existing laws using local law enforcement that were specially trained to do so. So trying to help the federal government enforce the laws that were on the books. And they said, no, you can't do that unless the federal government asks you to do that. That's what we see in these cases where the federal government comes in and provides extra funding for law enforcement agencies to do that. And if they don't, then they start cutting the funding. We have seen that already. Listen, we saw out of the Supreme Court, I believe it was, we can look this up, guys. I believe it was last week or a couple weeks ago where the Supreme Court even made a distinction between citizens and non-citizens when it comes to requesting bond hearings. And the Supreme Court said, no, they can't. They don't have an unlimited requested bond hearing. So they have made these distinctions already. Immigration has been before the Supreme Court in this term. But this obviously would kind of set the stage or for once and for all settle many of these different, because you've got here the warrant issue, the voluntary issue, you've got the warning periods for like right. I-9 forms, you have the detention facilities that the U.S. runs, and the sanctuary cities issue as well. And that legislation, I think, again, instructing local law enforcement not to comply with federal laws so that it is a safe city for people to be illegally under the local police.
Just realize what you just said.
Yeah,
which is right.
It's hard to imagine that you don't get in serious trouble for that.
Yeah, a federal agency that has authority and jurisdiction over a particular immigration matter is being blocked by the state from enforcing its law. You know, they tried that in Alabama in the 1950s. It didn't work out too well for Alabama, as it should not have. But Jerry, it's basically the same legal principle. So I wanted to get Dan Bender, our director of governmental affairs, because there's a monetary component to this congressionally. So what is that, Dan?
Well, Jordan talked about it. I mean, the fact that this administration has had to litigate whether or not they have to pay local jurisdictions that refuse to enforce the law. Remember, this is how it works. Washington, D.C. allocates money from the federal government back to the states and localities to help enforce what? Federal law. When a state or locality refuses to enforce the federal law that those dollars are intended to help assist, this administration has rightly said, well, okay, well, then you don't get those dollars. They have then had to litigate on that point, Jay. I don't think the administration should have to litigate on that point. I think Congress needs to step in and make it crystal clear under letter of the law that if you do not comply with federal law, you do not get these series of grants that are aimed to assist that federal law.
I think that's absolutely right. You know, we've had experience. I mean, there are some cities in Virginia that were sanctuary cities, and people be in a car accident, and the police officer would see that the person that conducted the accident was not there legally and let them go. Wouldn't even write them up as a ticket. So that kind of issue is ridiculous. Now, California's impeding, I mean, in a sense, they're obstructing the execution of our immigration and naturalization laws. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We'll take comments in on Facebook as well. One comment, Jordan, you're going to like this one. This is from Bettina in California. She said, "We are sick of the California government. This is awesome news that the law has been filed. Well, it is good that the federal government, Department of Justice, filed a lawsuit. The problem is elections have consequences. We keep telling you that, and this is where you see consequences of that."
Yeah, I mean, the consequences are good in the sense that we have an administration willing to fight for the laws that are on the books. Not new laws. Laws that are on the books.
But the folks in California have got the state government there.
The Californians keep electing a state government that wants to continually pick fights with the federal government, thinking that they are moving the ball forward. So sanctuary cities, warnings, and not allowing people to voluntarily let ICE agents into their private businesses. Private businesses. And the state of California is saying you can't do that. And then third, that California officials have a right to enter federal detention facilities immigrants are, where I don't even know where their attenuated connection is, since those immigrants are not California citizens. They're not legal residents. They are illegally in the country.
How constitutionally is a federal facility being inspected by a state government on a matter that's controlled exclusively in the jurisdiction of the federal government? I mean, it's separation of powers. It's Article 1, Article 2, Article 3 powers. We get all that. But there's also, and they're going to argue they're asserting the 10th Amendment. But my goodness, on this issue, the supreme law of the land, the Supreme Court's been clear. It's the, even when, look, in Arizona, what Jan Brewer tried to do was enforce the existing law. And they even said, the Supreme Court even said there, you don't have the authority to enforce the existing federal law as a state agency, state office. That's exclusively the jurisdiction of the federal government. So there you have it. All right, let's go ahead and Logan's out today. Jordan, take some phone calls, 800-684-3110. Lines are jammed, but they will free up, so just keep calling with your questions and we'll get John.
Yeah, Julie in California, on line 5. We have a lot of listeners out in California. I'm sure this got them fired up. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello.
Hey, you're in there.
Yeah, I live in a sanctuary city.
Yep.
And it really annoys me that...
So when you say you live in a sanctuary city, Julie, explain to people what that means in your day-to-day life.
It really doesn't affect me in my day-to-day life that I've known about, but it bothers me that my city officials voted without asking. Well, yeah, they had meetings about it, but you know, they just went ahead and voted and decided that we were going to become a sanctuary city.
So what if a city in some place were to put forward policies that were discriminatory based on race, religion, whatever it might be, and there's already federal law that says you can't do that. The state government doesn't get to do it. I mean, that's what the supremacy clause means. And so the reason I asked you, Julie, how it affects your daily life is because you don't really know how it affects your daily life, because here's what's happening. Unless you're running that business, you don't know what you're up against.
No, unless you violate one of these procedures. And so, and really this is picking a battle with the federal government and local law enforcement officials. It puts local law enforcement officials in a very difficult decision-making process. They already have tough jobs. Now they've got to decide, am I supposed to enforce this law when I arrest this person and find out they have no paperwork? Do I just let them go if it's a minor traffic offense? But they don't, you know, they have a driver's license because California gives those out.
Yep.
But they don't have any kind of paperwork showing they're here legally. I guess I just ignore that, right? I mean, but then, you know, you've got this whole issue where if that person drives over into a different state, they're going to end up in a detention facility. And that's why the Supreme Court probably has to step in here. Because you have to have the laws of the United States have to make sense congruently to a point where if that person with that driver's license in California, which they obtain legally to an extent because California allows them to, then drives over into maybe a state like Arizona where they would end up in a detention facility if they were pulled over for a routine traffic matter. And that then causes a real issue between how do you enforce the laws, and it's state laws, again, conflicting with federal laws on the books. And I think the funding mechanism is how you get at the heart of this. But to me, what is most outrageous here is penalizing employers. Okay, penalizing private employers who voluntarily decide to let their businesses, let ICE or other federal officials come in to check to see whether their workers are in compliance with the laws, that they are in the country legally, they have a work permit. Those, again, employers would be punished if they voluntarily decide to allow the laws to be enforced. The only way around it then is if ICE comes with a warrant. California hasn't gone so far as to say you need to ignore warrants from the federal government. But again, if you can't voluntarily do it, but you can do it by warrant, you see California's already acknowledging that the feds have supremacy. Because Right. Once they have that warrant, California doesn't say you can ignore that. So why can't you voluntarily allow them in? It doesn't make a lot of sense. But you get penalized, monetary penalties on private businesses for allowing, remember the E-Verify and all of those kind of programs, they're penalizing you for doing that.
All right, we are going to take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Quickly, Than, with like 20 seconds here, what do you think federally, is any movement on Congress on any of this or just the funding?
Well, there needs to be, because it needs to be something that the administration does not have to litigate. Jay, we're going to have to go and root out all of these grants and then call for that.
Yeah, so we got to find out where the money's coming from and where it's going. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So here's what we got. I'm holding in my hand for our TV audiences a copy of the lawsuit that's been filed by the United States of America versus the state of California and its governor in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of California. There are three laws that are being challenged by the United States. One is sanctuary cities laws. The others involve the inability of the federal government to execute its authority for inspections to determine employer compliance with immigration laws, where you can't, employer can't even do so if they wanted to voluntarily absent a warrant. And number three, that the state government can inspect the federal government's detention facilities for people that are in the United States illegally. Now, understand this. We have, within the detention facilities, we have standards that are met on a federal level, more so than any country in the world. But the idea that the state would go in and inspect those turns the Constitution and the Supremacy Clause upside down. Let me get Harry Hutchinson, our Director of Policy's general reaction to all of this.
Well, my general reaction is the Constitution gives Congress and the President power to enact and enforce immigration law. California, of course, disagrees. Instead, they have passed three laws designed to obstruct enforcement of the federal law. This conflict constitutes a direct attack on federal power, and it may be the most offensive approach taken by states against the federal government since the Civil War, because it's important to note that what's going on in California is also beginning to happen in other states.
Yep.
The mayor of Chicago has announced that he will not cooperate. And many jurisdictions, perhaps largely led by Democratic mayors and governors, they have announced their refusal to cooperate. But at the same time, they want federal grant money. And so it's arguably an inconsistent position.
I mean, I think more than inconsistent, I think it's also politically, Jordan, untenable.
Yes.
I mean, constitutionally, it's untenable. I mean, you have a constitutional right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still looking at this language as it relates to this going into federal detention facilities for people who are not here legally, not in California legally, so they're not legal residents or citizens of the state of California. They're in violation of federal law. They're in detention facilities. And why does California and their state agents have any right to ever access those facilities? I mean,
well, Andy, what would you are a U.S. attorney? Can you've got a pretrial detention facility in Atlanta? Are you going to allow the state of Georgia? And you're a state prosecutor as well. Are you going to let the state of Georgia come in and decide to?
That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard. It's like whether it's a detention facility, whether you call it a prison or a jail, it's like saying that in the United States Penitentiary in Atlanta, we're going to allow officials of the Fulton County, Georgia Sheriff's Department to come in and look at the facility and see if that U.S. jail, that federal penitentiary, meets the standards that they believe to be appropriate.
So, Than, I go to the money issue because we always talk about the flow of money here. Explain to the audience where the money comes into play here.
Well, think back to when you testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee, Jay, because this is really where the distortion of the constitutional requirements started. The Article II branch wanted to assume the Article I branch's ability to write the law. Now they're trying to steal the Article II branch's authority to enforce the law and pass it down to the states. Jay, Congress sends money back to the states in order to help enforce the law. It is a sacred obligation of the executive branch to do that. If those states and localities, Jay, do not use that money for that purpose, then they should not get it. And by the way, this administration has said that, but they have been fought in court. My suggestion is that Congress needs to go back and make it crystal clear statutorily that if they do not meet the requirements, they do not get the money. And then that would also relieve the burden on the administration to have to defend that.
All right, let's go ahead back to the phones at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Barbara in Maryland on line 6. Barbara, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Barbara.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
I love what you do.
Thanks.
You're great. My question is, what happens when this all goes down and these idiots take it before these corrupt Ninth Circuit Court judges and they overturn everything?
Well, I'm not going to call the judges in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals corrupt. I mean, I disagree with them a lot on judicial interpretation, but I'm not going to say they're corrupt, and I'm not going to call people that are bringing lawsuits names either, and I'll tell you why I'm not going to do that, Barbara. We live in the United States of America. You get to file a lawsuit. Here, the lawsuit was brought by the United States. Jerry Brown is the governor. I'm not defending what I think his actions are wrong, but he has the right to defend himself from an action. Having said that, I think this ends up in the Supreme Court of the United States, and I wouldn't be shocked if it was 9-0 in favor of the federal government. Harry?
I think you're absolutely correct, because if we are going to have an operational republic, then the states have to comply with the Supremacy Clause. So essentially what we have is Article 1 and Article 2. Congress, under Article 1, has passed a law. Under Article 2, the president seeks to enforce the law. And now we have the state saying, wait a minute, we believe we have a superior approach to immigration policy, and hence we are going to pass a number of state laws which obstruct federal power. That approach cannot stand. It's absolutely incoherent, and it leads to chaos and perhaps even worse things.
Yeah, but this was exactly what the state of Alabama tried to do in the 1950s on segregation.
Absolutely.
The federal government had a policy. The Supreme Court issued a law, and George Wallace argued that he had the right under the 10th Amendment. So, I mean, I understand, I'm not accusing Jerry Brown of racism, but the idea that that you could circumvent, Andy, the federal law here is absurd.
You can. I remember seeing Attorney General Katzenbach confront George Wallace right in the face, surrounded by federal troops behind him, and said, these students are coming to this high school, and they're going, and they did, because federal law is supreme in the land, and as we say in Article 6 of the Constitution, the laws made in accordance with the treaties and the authority of the United States is the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, which I trust will mean that the Ninth Circuit judges will realize that federal law in the area of immigration, such as we have here in California, is supreme to anything that might be enacted by the state of California.
I would not be overly optimistic about where the Ninth Circuit
I'm not optimistic, but I would hope that they could read the Constitution and see what is ultimate. And I agree with you, Jay. This is ultimately going to the Supreme Court of the United States.
No question.
And I think that the United States will win there.
I do. Oh, no, I think overwhelmingly. I think it'll be another one of these cases with, like, the president's authority on enhanced vetting. I think the answer is 9-0. That's how I view it. I mean, now, the political consequences of this, I don't even think you've begun to see yet. I mean, this is a political fight as much as anything else.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you get into this in California, for the most part, it's a deeply blue state heading into a midterm election. This is very popular to fight this battle with Democrats, win or lose. They expect their Democrat government in California is going to fight back against the Republican administration, whether this was the Trump administration or any other Republican trying to enforce the existing federal immigration laws. They would expect in a deeply blue state, the voters there, that the people, that their elected officials would fight back. And what always makes us all nervous is that California tries to push ahead, usually 20 years or so ahead of where the rest of the country is. And so they kind of come up with these outlandish laws and arguments. But if you don't fight them back and kind of beat them back quickly, they end up kind of seeping into the rest of the laws of the country of the United States over time. So this is a chance really to strike these down and fight aggressively. Support the work of the ACLJ. We have a second half hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live. Support the work we do. It's a matching challenge. Whatever you donate is doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice. Donate now at ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
right, so we got a federal lawsuit. It is, I'm holding it in my hand. It's been filed by the United States of America versus the state of California, Edmund Gerald Brown, governor, and also against Xavier Becerra, who is the attorney general of California. So here it is. So this has been filed. This is in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of California, so it's at the trial court level. There are three primary allegations in the lawsuit. One is that a law mandates that ICE agents present a warrant or subpoena before entering certain areas of the premises is the only way in which ICE agents can come in. Absent that, if you voluntarily, and the employer said, look, ICE wants to make a check, we want to voluntarily comply, you can't do it and you'll be fined. Number two, they have a sanctuary city bill that immigrants without legal residency, it limits state and municipal cooperation with the federal government, including what information can be shared about illegal immigrants that are including inmates in prisons. Andy, you're laughing at, go ahead.
I'm laughing at this because it's so ridiculous, Jay. We're going to share information regarding inmates in prisons.
And the state says you can't do it.
And the state says, no, you can't do that. I mean, that makes no sense. It is laughable.
Including their release dates, which under the way the law works now, the federal government allows you, if you've committed a crime at the state level, to serve out that prison sentence first. And then upon your release or, you know, finishing that sentence, you're then detained by the federal authorities for removal from the country because you're here illegally. California not only is preventing DHS from getting that, they've come up with some limited times when, you know, some exceptions. The exceptions are more narrow than what the federal government has defined as the kind of laws you break that will get you immediately deported. So they've said even less laws are worthy of being deported under the law. And this is state officials telling the federal government that.
Yeah, and then a third law gives state officials the power to monitor and inspect immigrant detention facilities run by the United States Department of Homeland Security. Go ahead.
Including access to ICE documentation, federal government records.
Yeah. So
So they get to go into the file.
They can go into the federal files, the state agencies. How does that make you feel? Harry, what about that one?
Well, it's interesting. It would be interesting to note that essentially state law is giving state officials access to federal files, apparently without a warrant. And it's very likely that the law violates perhaps Fourth Amendment protections for federal officials.
Yeah.
So I think the law is absolutely crazy. In some sense, it's turning federalism on its head, and it's allowing California, if this law is allowed to stand, to control federal immigration policy. So, and we all know that would be very, very wacky.
So, Fan, fix this in Washington. What are you going to do?
Well, first of all, I think you're going to have to help California employers understand that they're going to be in a position where they have to pick between violating federal.
It's terrible for them.
Well, they have to violate federal law or state law. They have to pick which one they're in. That in and of itself is a problem. But, Jay, here's the other thing. I think we're going to have to communicate to members of Congress and people like the caller we had a minute ago. What is the real impact in a community? The real impact in a community is that criminals are going to be allowed to stay in your jurisdiction. And here's the other thing, Jay. What's it going to do? It's going to attract more to your city. And I'm not just talking about immigrants. I'm talking about criminals because they will have a safe haven there from prosecution.
I want to play Bite 33 of Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
And elections have consequences. I think the American people spoke about this subject. Immigration law is the province of the federal government. It's in the Constitution.
It is in the Constitution. The issues of naturalization and immigration are set as an Article 2 power. So there you have it. And certainly Congress has legislated on it as well. So this is they're turning this upside down. All right, when we come back, I promise you this, we're going to take some more calls and comments.
Yeah, that's right. We have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you can support the ACLJ with financially, we greatly appreciate how we do the work that we do. It's how we have all of these attorneys and experts on the broadcast for you each and every day, covering so many different topics each day on the broadcast. It's because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. Go to ACLJ.org. This is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ because your donation is doubled. You heard me right. We have a matching challenge. So whatever you donate to the ACLJ is doubled. Donate online at ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. We've got a lot of calls that have come in, so let's actually take one. We're talking about this Department of Justice filing a lawsuit against California for three different laws, three different provisions. So one comes from one is in the same. Two of those provisions are in the same law. A third is the sanctuary state law as well. And of course, we wanted to bring this to your attention, kind of explain to you what were the issues at stake, what the DOJ was filing against, what will be argued in this matter, and of course, ultimately, how we believe this affects really the entire country and law enforcement, basically, and their ability to work with the federal government or to follow, as we say, the laws of the United States of America. I'm going to go right to the phones based on how long people have been holding on now that we've gotten into this part of the second half hour of the show. Tammy is calling in from California on line one. Tammy, thanks for holding on. Stay on the line afterwards. We're going to send you one of our signed books as well. We appreciate you hanging on the line to talk to us today.
Okay, thank you. I do live in California, and to see what they're doing to our state is absolutely disgusting. I was talking to some firemen the other day because of the homelessness in our our state. I live in Sacramento, or I live in around the Sacramento area. And the amount of homelessness, and they were saying that they are being shipped in, from other states. So we have no way to determine who's here, their crimes, and here as me as being a legal citizen of our country, I feel less safe in my state. And we have politicians out there playing some political game that don't have any care about us, the American people. I don't care if people come to our country, but do it legally.
Yeah, well, this is a thumbing in the nose of legal immigration, let me tell you that.
And also, it's thumbing in the nose of the citizens of California, because as you're saying, Tammy, why are these people being bussed in? Because you have a sanctuary state for the time being. Until that law is struck down, your whole state, not just city, but state, has defined itself as a sanctuary for illegal immigrants.
Yep.
So these pro-illegal immigrant groups are going to be shipping people into California.
Especially they know it's safe. So there's no consequence. And employers, Andy, cannot even react.
That's the sad thing. An employer is really put between a rock and a hard place. Do I violate federal law or do I violate state law? Which do I violate? Which do I comply with?
We are getting a lot of calls from California.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, go ahead.
The next call from California, Art, who's been holding on as well. Art, if you hang on the line, we'll get you a signed book as well. Calling from California. Art, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi, Art.
Hi, guys. Hey, thank you for all that you do. Sure. And for bringing this to the surface. California native here. I've been here for over 40 years. And as Tammy noted earlier, a couple of issues. Number one is it incentivizes all of the immigrants.
Yep.
And I am one, first generation coming to the
second generation here. So I get it. Yep.
And you know, my parents went through the process. They followed the law, or the law that's on the books, the federal law. Now, what California is doing, I think you mentioned it earlier, is they're trying to once again do is this, there's a saying here, as California goes, so goes the nation.
Well, that's what Jordan's concerned about. Yeah.
And that is a huge concern because I think they're trying to establish, you know, of course, a different type of voting base with all of these illegal immigrants coming over here, because the word is out across the border that to come to California, because there's sadly there's more laws to protect the illegals than there are for the residents that live in the state. And I think you nailed it, Jay, because you mentioned as far as the funding that they are getting from the federal government, I think that once that is choked off and that's pinched, yep, I think hopefully that they will react. If not,
well, that's
then,
what, you know, I mean, Jerry Brown is already out right now responding. I mean, which you knew he would. So this was a fight he wanted to have. They allowed legislation to go through California knowing it was going to violate federal law. And they've set up a constitutional showdown, which I think ultimately it'll take the Supreme Court, probably, Harry, to do it and to get a reaction here.
Absolutely. So I think Jerry Brown and the legislators in California wish to signal to the public that they stand with those who have alleged grievances. Here, the alleged grievance are illegal immigrants, and some would say illegal aliens. And so Jerry Brown and the state prefers to stand with them rather than the law-abiding citizens of California, and therefore, yep, basically, Jerry Brown is risking safety and security for individuals in California.
He's speaking right now. Let's go right to it. Well, we just finished, so hopefully we're going to get...
Here's the Attorney General.
Here's the Attorney General
of California.
Let's take a listen.
Usually, as an attorney, you advise your client not to say anything in public, but I think in this case, I'm really pleased that my client, the governor, has made it very clear where the state of California stands. And I think you can trace all of this back to the fact that Washington, D.C., as the governor just mentioned, the Trump administration, has just failed utterly to help us fix a very broken immigration system. And this is what it comes down to.
That was a very key admission by the Attorney General. So this is nothing but a political lawsuit. Because it's
right,
the Trump administration. Meanwhile, the Trump administration actually is trying to do something. It was California that is thwarting those efforts.
In one way, he just admitted the key point, Jay.
Yes.
He really did. He admitted that this is a jurisdiction of the federal government. And I would just say to both him and the last caller, yes, you should absolutely choke off funds. But guess what else, Jay? Because of what he just said, that's not enough. You have to litigate it,
yep,
which is why it's a good thing the federal government has done this.
There's been these questions already before in court, which is if there's federal laws on the books, but they're not being enforced correctly, can the state come in and try to extra enforce them? And the Supreme Court said no.
Right.
They said that to Arizona.
To
they said that. So recent Supreme Court precedent says even if you believe Washington, D.C. is doing a bad job, if it's in their purview to act and only their purview to act, a state cannot come in to try and do a better job if the federal government doesn't expressly allow them to do so. The federal government,
yep,
can allow them to do so, but it does not have to allow them to do so.
Let's take another call.
Yeah, Pete in Washington State on line 4. Pete, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Pete.
Hi. I love your program. I'm glad for this reason. That's why I support your program, because
I
love what you guys do.
Thanks.
And my question is, how does California, you know, think they can just make laws and, you know, for illegal immigrants? You know, I'm a Hispanic person myself.
Yep.
I support American Hispanic people or anybody does it right. But for them to go against legal Americans and think they could just make their own laws, what other laws are they going to try to make?
Well, this is, you hit it right on the head. And I mean, I'm the only second generation of my family born in the United States. So my grandfather came here and did it legally. And I completely support, I want comprehensive immigration reform. And I've told you that. I support DACA with the wall funding. I think that's a good, fair compromise. And it's a good way to get things resolved. But what you don't do is take the law into your own hands. And Pete, what's happened here is the California governor is taking the law in his own hand, and his lawyer just got up. That's why you shouldn't be letting your client or letting the attorney speak about when he said what he said, because what he said was this was basically a political thing. The Trump administration has made a disaster out of our immigration laws, and we, the state of California, now want to inspect. Andy, I mean, talk about this. We want to inspect federal records and federal facilities to determine compliance.
Absolutely no right to do so. The Constitution's Supremacy Clause is very clear. It's the other way around. It's not the right that the supreme law of the land is the federal law, not the state law, and the state cannot infringe upon the federal government's prerogative in the area of immigration. This lawsuit, I hope, ultimately establishes that.
Take going to the Supreme
Court. We'll see.
Yep. All right, let's take another call before the break.
From California, David on line one. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, David, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited about this lawsuit. I'm an agricultural employer. I employ hundreds of workers seasonally, 2-3 months at a time. And in California, they can work the system to the point where most of these people are probably undocumented illegal aliens, and they have multiple Social Security numbers. And in the process that they're working for me, under state California, I have to allow them to be able to change their Social Security number.
You have to let them change to take one Social Security number, change it to another, and you have to give them 72 hours notice if, in fact, your voluntary compliance is going to take place. I mean, So, look, David, I'm glad you called in because you're the example of what the problem is. So you're an employer. Your employee sounds like hundreds of people, seasonal workers, and you can't tell. I mean, E-Verify is meaningless here. They don't want E-Verify.
Well, yeah, because if who cares about E-Verify if you can change your Social Security number whenever you want with your employer?
Right.
I mean, you realize this has gotten very sophisticated, as David pointed out, that these are agricultural, workers, but they are being instructed at a very sophisticated level of how to subvert the U.S. laws. And then they've got California, the state, backing them up in how to do so. So David is forced to, in a sense, violate U.S. law. I mean, changing Social Security, that is outrageous.
So we've got a constitutional showdown here.
Absolutely. And the supremacy clause is at the center of it. California has passed really a series of illegal laws in order to engage in virtue signaling.
And Than, from your standpoint congressionally, what do you expect the reaction with all this to be? Quickly.
They better speak up because, David, when those federal law enforcement show up at his business,
he's in a rock and a hard place.
California tells him he has to reject them.
Yeah. Can you imagine that situation puts an employer? Yeah. Federal government says you got to do this. The state government says you can't do that. And take the Supreme Court of the United States. Big case. We'll be talking about it next time in the broadcast. I'm sure we'll be talking about it tomorrow as well. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are on the last segment of the broadcast, so let me encourage you to do this. If you want to talk to us, you got to do it now. This is a big news, and the state of California gets sued by the federal government over the California basically rewriting our federal immigration laws. It's pretty much what they've done. And if you comply as an employer, if you try to comply with federal government requests, the state says we're going to fine you. So what do you do if you're the so if you're the employer? You do get sued by the state government or the federal government, or do you let this thing go to court now, as Jeff Sessions has? And ultimately, the Supreme Court of the United States. The ACLJ will be involved. We'll make a determination after radio probably today what state. Sometimes we wait for the Ninth Circuit on some of these, but we may move a little bit quicker on this one. We'll see. But we are taking your calls in this last segment of the broadcast. We'll have more analysis on this tomorrow. The governor of California just spoke. We had the attorney general just spoke. So we'll have that sound broken down for you tomorrow. But let's go ahead and take some calls. 1-800-684-3110. Alexis is calling from Sacramento, the capital of California. Alexis, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to call in, and I'm a police officer's wife,
yep.
And my husband has been a police officer in California now for over 12 years, and he's looking to get out. We've already started taking steps for him to change careers. I've gone back to work, and it's just been a very stressful decision, but it's the right one because there is no future in law enforcement in California.
When you say, tell us why, Alexis, I mean, this thing is important for our audience to hear this. Why is this frustrating your husband so much?
Well, when he's wanted to be a police officer since he was a little kid. So he's been living his dream, basically.
Yep.
And it's just over the years, I mean, I'm so glad that you're focusing on California right now because it's just, it's, I feel like it's worse than people even realize.
Yeah,
I
suspect it is.
The amount of lawlessness and just California government chipping away at laws that protect victims,
yep.
And laws that protect citizens, they're just gradually chipping away. And so it's very difficult for police officers to do their job,
yep.
And to not get sued,
sure.
Or fired.
So, yeah.
Or
you just hit it right on the head. So this is important. So Andy and I both have been federal prosecutors, federal government lawyers, and state government lawyers, prosecutors. And this, you deal with law enforcement every day. And the idea that the federal government would come in and start supervising the state law enforcement, that's not good either. But the idea that a police officer, Alexis' husband, is basically being told, you do not apply the laws of this jurisdiction this way because we don't, this is a policy position we're making.
I think it's so dismal to hear somebody who from his childhood wanted to be a police officer, who served for 12 years as a police officer, is saying, I can't take the lawlessness anymore. I can't take the corruption that I see. I can't take the situation as it is, and I want out of law enforcement. This is a profession that ought to be attracting the people who want to do good and not running them out, Jay.
Fan Bennett just sent something in our chat here, and that is, we normally don't file briefs like this at the district court level, but this may be one. You put some good reasons in there why you think we should. Go ahead, Fan, share it with everybody.
Well, over the last several years, Jay, we've laid down a very careful separation of powers on this. There's a role for the Article 1 branch to write the law. There's a role for the Article 2 branch. It's to enforce it. And it is clearly inappropriate for the states to violate it. I think it would be important for us to move forward. But, Jay, one other point, and the last caller really made this. We've been focusing on how this is not fair to employers and California residents because it's impossible to comply.
Yep.
Guess what else is impossible to do? Enforce. It's unfair to California law enforcement as well. This is really going to be a big one. I think we need to be involved from the beginning to the end.
You know, we forget sometimes the size of our audience in California, but you sure see it today where every line is jammed up as California. Let's go to the next line.
Yep. Well, Bonnie is calling in from California on line 6. Bonnie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hi. Live in a small community in Kern County.
Yep.
And one of the things I wanted to bring up is we're all concerned, our friends have all been talking, that how is this going to affect our federal tax
money you get from the federal government for the state of California.
Yeah, what the state and localities get, like law, like your
grant for law enforcement.
Right, local level, state level.
Yeah,
I mean, we talked about that. That's already been cut off to some extent, Than, and in a very minimum way, but the Trump administration has looked at, and they've been fighting that out in court actually as well, of trying to take even more money and saying that California is does not deserve this money because they're in flagrant violation, yep. flagrant violation of the law.
Well, and it's not just a choice, Jordan. It's an obligation. I mean, right. the administration has to use this money for its stated purpose, as Congress stated it. And in many of these accounts, it's solely for law enforcement. If they are going to reject the law enforcement, they are not entitled to the funds. And Jay and Jordan, that's to say nothing of the additional cost that California is going to incur by attracting more of these people who then they're going to have to support. And eventually, one day, many of them prosecute.
Harry, this is on a policy level, because you're a director of policy. This is fundamentally flawed on multiple fronts.
Absolutely. And so if you think about it, it's very possible that if California seeks to enforce all of its recent laws, which are probably illegal, it will indeed force some state officials to violate federal law, meaning it exposes its own employees to potential criminal violations, if not civil violations. So it's very, very broad. And so there's so many conflicts on so many issues, including employers.
Employers are
in a terrible position.
Who do they, you know, you got the federal government saying you got to do this. The state government saying if you do that, we're going to fine you. So what do you do? I mean, this is the dilemma. All right, let's take another call from California, I might add. Quinn, on line four.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. Sure. Shed some light on this for the rest of the country. Jerry Brown is the Barack Obama when it comes to governors. I got 2 parking tickets at the beach this summer, $190 each. They tagged it onto my vehicle registration, would not give me registration for my vehicle until I paid the fine. So they're telling me, as a law-abiding citizen resident of California for 55 years, that when I abide by the law, that it's okay to pay for everybody else with my registration fees and with my fines, yet what are they doing for me? Who is going to help
Well,
California?
Good news for you. If it was a federal offense, Quinn, they picked you up for not paying your fine, the state of California thinks they have the authority to go in and check a federal facility to see if it complies with the California guidelines and standards. Now, you answered the question yourself. I mean, the whole thing, it puts the citizens in California in a terrible terrible position. So here's what we're going to do at the ACLJ. We've got to figure out. So we will be off the air in a couple minutes, and then we will have a meeting. And at our meeting, we will discuss, will we file a brief at the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of California? And I suspect right now, if we were to poll our team, the answer is probably yes. We will file that brief on behalf of you, our members of the ACLJ. Than, I think, laid out a compelling reason why it's not fair to California law enforcement, Andy, not fair to California employers, and not fair to California citizens.
It's not, and the ACLJ, I think, needs to be a prime spokesperson in this area. We need to support the fact that the Supremacy Clause, because we're a constitutional right. litigation advocacy organization, that's what we do.
Yep.
We need to say that the Supremacy Clause takes precedence here, has spoken over state yep. law.
So what we're going to do, we'll talk about that during... we'll probably maybe get it out on Twitter or Facebook what our decision is on this afternoon. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow, so you're going to want to stay tuned. But this is exactly why you need to support the work of the ACLJ, and you do that at aclj.org, and we're in a matching challenge campaign. And that means any amount you donate to us, we're getting a matching gift for. So let me encourage you to do that at aclj.org. Also, a lot of you are online right now between Facebook, Periscope, and the web. We're going to play for you an original song by the Jay Sekulow Band called Undemocratic. Fits exactly to this theme. Share this with your friends right now on social media platforms. So when we're done with this, you will hear that song live performed at Judson University. And this was the live version that our band performed. So we encourage you to watch that and, again, share it with your friends right now. We'll be back tomorrow with more analysis as facts warrant. We may even come back with you later today on issues related to this. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.